This is the EWN Radio Network.
You are listening to Travel Talk with Kelly Morgan Mealy, Chief Guide at thebucketlistretreats.com. Kelly is the curious host who takes us along as we learn the ins and outs of travel to fascinating places that tap into our hearts and turn us into lifelong travelers, adventurers, and wanderers. Now, our friend in travel, Kelly.
Welcome to all of our listeners. Thank you for joining us on Travel Talk. This is your hostess, Kelly Morgan Mealy of Bucket List Retreats, holding space for creativity. My guest today, my mentor, my friend, is famed author Jennifer Louden. Welcome, Jennifer, to Travel Talk.
Oh, thank you for having me, Kelly. It's great to be together.
Thank you. I am thrilled to talk to you about your philosophies on holding space for creativity. Simply talking with you taps me into that special creative place that I have learned to live with since I met you and studied your Women's Comfort book, a wildly successful series that Jennifer created. Jennifer, can you tell us about the Comfort book and how it came about?
Oh, yeah. I was about 25. I was living in L.A., and I wanted so badly to be a successful screenwriter. I had gone to film school at USC, and I was really struggling and really unhappy. And I went through really just a series of unfortunate events and ended up just really depressed and really stuck, and just finally decided to give myself a break and take a month off from writing. So I called a dear friend who I was very jealous of because she had signed with a better agent and she had actually sold something, and I told her, I'm just going to quit writing for a month. And it didn't matter to her, but to me it felt like I was confessing that I was, giving up my identity, basically. And I was just terrified. And I hung up the phone, and I felt this moment of kind of, grace or release or surrender, probably surrender. Mm-hmm. I had no idea what it was at the time. And then the title for that book popped into my head, really as clearly as if you said it to me right now.
Wow.
And it began a quest, really. It took me several years to write the book proposal to really understand what the book was asking, to realize I could write a book. I mean, all kinds of stuff.
That's great. And so it was published and became the hit that we all know. I think I heard about it on Oprah, if that's not mistaken. Were you on Oprah?
No, I was on Oprah, but it was quite a bit later. It was about 6 years later. So, it was a word of mouth bestseller. It just was one of those books that got recommended by girlfriends, by therapists, by bookstore owners.
I certainly ran across it, and that's how I ended up hearing about your retreats. And when did retreats pop up for you?
That's a great question. So that book was, the Woman's Comfort book was published in 1992. And I think I led my first retreat maybe it was 2 or 4 years later, and I was invited to do it. I loved retreats. I ended up writing a book called The Woman's Retreat Book.
Right.
But I didn't see myself as a teacher or a retreat leader. I saw myself as, kind of a fake and a fraud, really. Like, I wrote this book, but who am I to write this book? But I believe it was either Omega, the learning center in upstate New York, that called me where I led my first retreat. It might have been someplace else. So it was someone else's idea. And it began really one of the great loves of my life. And I had always retreated on my own. I had done writing retreats and spiritual retreats for myself. But being a retreat leader was a big stretch.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Yeah.
And when did you find out or figure out that you wanted to do that all on your own, to go to the Mabel Dodge Luann house in like in Taos, where I met you.
I think that was, oh God, the first time I led a retreat at Mabel Dodge was probably 14 years ago. And I think it just, it was, it's an evolution. And for me, the way that I see it now, and I didn't at the time, was just being willing to take the risk to rent a place myself and fill it myself. And I had enough of a following and enough of an email list by that time, and a popular website. So I had an inkling. But at first it was hard. You know, there were years that it was hard to fill that retreat. I now fill my writing retreats usually within a few days, sometimes a few hours.
It's shocking. Yes, you have to be Johnny on the spot to book your spot. But I imagine that when you got to Mabel Dodge Luann, that the magic of that area must have struck you, that this would really work out well for the writer's retreat.
I had been there before, and I had actually had a very important series of my own creative experiences in Taos, and going down the Rio Chama, which is the river that runs by Taos, with some other women canoeing and writing. And so I'd fallen in love with the place a number of years before, and it really remained in my heart as a place for women's creativity. So, you know, again, it wasn't super conscious at the time, but now it really makes sense to me why I would want to bring women there.
Sure. And do you think that the locale for someone who would be planning a retreat is central to selling out the retreat?
You know, I could say yes and I could say no. So it really depends who you are and what the purpose of the retreat is, and also who wants to work with you, who wants to retreat. So if you're doing a retreat that's about stretching yourself, you know, it might well be that there needs to be an element of the unknown or the exotic. If you are someone who's doing a travel writing retreat, oh my gosh, for sure you're going to have to come up with a good location, right?
Right.
But if you're doing a meditation retreat, it may be that actually having less to do, being someplace kind of removed, someplace quieter in nature, is more important. So I think the most important thing to really do is to know what is the experience you're wanting to create, and to get to know what people want from you. Because I lead primarily writing retreats now, it's nice to have an interesting location, but it's also a tension, because people are like, ooh, but I'm here and I'm not really getting to go out and see it that much, right? So, you know, it's a push-pull. And what I say to people is, you might want to stay a day late, you might want to come 2 days early if this is, you know. And we do give people free time. I give everybody one free afternoon. So it really depends on your motives, your outcomes, what you want people to come away with.
But you already lived in beautiful Washington State and felt the need to, or decided to go to New Mexico. Was it also for you to be able to get away, or was it really that played so well to writing for a writer's retreat?
Boy, I didn't think it through that well. I really didn't.
I'm just like, she already lived in gorgeous Washington. And, you know, was it just a leap of faith? Hey, I'm going to try it in New Mexico, where I feel all of the magic surrounding me, and hopefully other people grab onto it. So it's kind of what I always imagined you doing.
Yeah, no, I really didn't think it through that much. I never led. I only did a few one-day events in Washington. I used to live on Bainbridge Island. I live in Colorado now. And I don't know why I didn't do more. I mean, part of it was there wasn't a great place to do it, except there's one beautiful learning center on the island, but it's very difficult to get into. You have to do things on the weekends, because their main mission is school children. So, and it was really expensive. So it was partly, you know, and as you plan retreats, everybody, it really is the luck of finding a place that you feel comfortable, that works for you. And then it really saves you a lot of money and effort if you keep coming back to the same place.
Good point. And what is it like for you as a retreat leader being with your people for an entire week? Is it sometimes too much? Is it, or have you figured out a plan that it works out okay?
That's a great question. When I do the Taoist retreats, which are, I think, 5 nights, 6 days. I have someone who I invite to come with me, and I gift them a retreat, and I pay for their travel, and they teach yoga every afternoon, and they teach one writing class during the course of the week. So that gives me a feeling of somebody being there with me that I can brainstorm mm-hmm. with if problems come up, and it gives me most of a day off, at least a chunk. I shouldn't say that because there's lots of other things I'm doing, but there's a chunk of time I can go be by myself, take a nap, and I don't schedule anything about after 7:30, 8 o'clock at night. So that allows me to go, you know, hang out, be by myself. I always bring some really good books to read. Mostly, though, because I'm less of a helicopter retreat leader than I used to be, it's not very draining for me. I end the week feeling pretty energized and lucky.
Right. I know when I attended the retreat in Taos, just the everything from the gorgeous meals to the beautiful yoga in the downpours that you get in the middle of the day in Taos, added that to our little sessions that we did and the time to write, it couldn't have been more perfect. And the location, oh my gosh, perfect. So now we'll go ahead and pause for a commercial break. When we get back, Jennifer is going to talk to us about her newest endeavor, and that is The Oasis. Stay tuned.
You're connected to the EWN Radio Network.
This year at Bucket List Retreats, we are featuring women's retreats in Tulum, Mexico, Portland, Oregon, Marrakesh, Morocco, and our co-ed adventure to Machu Picchu, Peru. Go to bucketlistretreats.com. Join our travel club for inside tips, fun travel conversation, and freebies only available in email. Bucket List Retreats. Where do you want to go?
History is not just in books. It's all around us, in our roads, our communities, and our songs. Hi, I'm Cecilia Otto with An American Songline. Come on a musical odyssey with me through my book and CD, An American Songline, A Musical Journey Along the Lincoln Highway, available on iTunes and Amazon or on my website at www.americansongline.net. See you on the road!
Are you a retreat leader? Bring your tribe and visit us at the camp on Lake Muskoka in Ontario, Canada. A beautiful, serene, spiritual place guaranteed to make your guests feel safe and comfortable. Opening July 2017, we are taking bookings now at www.thecamp.ca. Contact me, Louise, to join our Facebook group to tell us about your favorite or not-so-favorite retreat venue experiences. We are asking leaders from all over the world to give us feedback so we can give you exactly what you need. Plus, if you participate, you could win 3 free days with us on your first retreat booking. Hope to see you soon.
Hi, everybody. This is Jennifer Lau, and I'd love to invite you to check out The Oasis. It's a weekly support experience, a mini retreat to live and create with no holding back. We use journaling, meditation, poetry, all kinds of cool things to help you live your life with more joy, more flow, and more intention. Check it out. It's jenniferloudon.com/oasis. See you there.
Hi, I'm Dr. Maish Seibel, a leading authority on women's wellness and menopause. A recent article in the New England Journal of Medicine found that most women are confused or afraid of estrogen, and many doctors aren't comfortable treating them. My new book, called The Estrogen Window, just hit #1 bestseller status on Amazon. Find out what women are so excited about. Order your copy now at estrogenwindowbook.com. and become a partner in your healthcare.
Now back to Travel Talk with Kelly Morgan Mealy.
You're connected to the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to our listeners and our beautiful guest, Jennifer Loudon. Let's slip away now, Jen, to The Oasis.
Sure. The Oasis is one of those, it's one of those things that's really hard to talk about. I just took the dogs for a walk before we got on the phone together here, and I was thinking about how difficult it is for me to talk about The Oasis. I think the best way to describe it is a weekly mini retreat where you have a chance to settle into a process that is created for you fresh every week that allows you to really tap into your own knowing and wisdom and then apply it to the coming week. One of the things that I've gotten really frustrated with over the years of teaching different personal growth programs and retreats is that it's too much for people. You learn and you grow, but it's really hard to apply. So the Oasis is about nurturing and applying and taking action and taking care of yourself, but in these little weekly chunks. Everything is chunked down. So you're keeping the big picture of your soul and your heart and your creative dreams in your awareness, but then you're also really getting down into the nitty-gritty of what are you going to do? What actions are you going to take? What are you going to be attentive to this week? And it's really magic. I was just interviewing one of the women in the group, and she was just, because I'm thinking about making some changes to our platform and some small changes to the next time we offer it. And she was just so, don't doubt the magic of this. This is incredibly magical. So that was really good to hear.
It is. I know sometimes when you're in the thick of it, it's hard to see. But when you're trying to live an intentional life, things just really get in the way with your grocery list and your paying of bills. So it's wonderful to have these check-ins and just remember what your intention was for the day.
Yeah, the week. Yeah, your life. Mm-hmm.
It is, and I'm increasingly consumed by flow, and I try to tap into how my day is going, is it flowing, or what are the objections that are coming up? And I think that many people are starting to be aware of that and making changes in their life so that flow seems to come in. And I noticed on your website that you mentioned it also with the quote, "May what I do flow from me like a river, no forcing and no holding back." And that, you said, is from Rilke. Is that how you pronounce that? Okay, Rilke's Book of Hours. I went ahead and ordered it online as soon as I saw it on the website. Mm. Can you talk to all of us about flow and how we can recognize it and keep it in our lives?
Well, flow is it's a really tricky thing in some ways to talk about, and because it's almost a little bit like the end of the rainbow. if you look for it too hard, I don't know if you ever get there. But the way that it's been researched in the last 30 years is that you're working at something you care deeply about. Mm-hmm. You're working at your edge, so you're not in the super comfortable, oh my gosh, I know exactly how to do this. You feel like I'm pushing myself a little bit. I'm not quite sure how to do this, but I think I know.
Right.
And then you've created work containers or conditions that that support you to work at your best. So that might be early in the morning or late at night for 90 minutes or 60 minutes with music. And you can't expect flow. That, I think that's what I mean by the rainbow part. Mm. You can't say, every day I'm going to have flow. You can work to recognize the conditions that create flow for you. And then it's usually the experience that you notice it after the fact. Wow, I was really flowing there. It really felt deeply satisfying. I think there's another state that we get confused with flow, which is more mindlessness, where maybe we watch a television program or we read a really good book and we look up and like it's 2 hours later, we're like, wow, where was I? That's
right.
Very wonderful. It's very good for our brain. We need that. But it's not, I think, what you're talking about.
No, right.
Yeah.
Right. It's really when your work or what consumes you on a daily basis seems to, if it constantly hits brick walls, it's good to recognize that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what I try to concentrate on, because before I would hit a brick wall and try to figure out a way to go around it or pursue through it, just work my way, over that wall. And now I'm trying to do more of a recognition of it. Is it saying, hey, you're going down the wrong road. Let's shift over here. So I really enjoyed seeing that quote on your website. And it made me, again, realize that the Oasis works perfectly for that, because it helps you remember those intentions of what you're feeling inside and what you're trying to accomplish. Good. When did the need for the Oasis arrive to you?
Oh, gosh, that's a great question. I can really kind of trace it back to The Comfort Queen's Guide to Life, a book of mine that was published in 2000, and then the book after that, The Life Organizer. And you start to see, and even before that, The Woman's Retreat book, you start to see my obsession with questions and using questions to kind of to bring to consciousness and clarity your own knowing or what might be obscured. We don't hold a lot of information in our consciousness. Most of our knowing is in our unconscious. And it takes a lot of effort and practice to bring that up and to help it guide and shape our lives. So I think it probably, the idea for it started, maybe, 1999, 2000, a long time ago. And then it took different forms. It took book forms and engagement calendar forms, and then it would be within courses that I was leading. And then it finally just occurred to me less than 2 years ago, why don't you just offer this as a standalone experience?
Great. Cool. Yeah, perfect. All right. Well, thank you so much. I have links to all of the information that we have talked about in the description of the show. Jennifer, thank you again for joining me today. I know that all of the listeners are going to be thrilled to know that I got to talk to you on the show and that they get to check out the Oasis and the books that you've written in the past. It's brought me such comfort over the last 10 or so years, that more than 10 years since I've got to know you.
We can just pretend we're younger.
That's what we'll do. All right. Well, thank you so much and have a beautiful day.
Thank you so much for having me.
And the same goes to all of our listeners. I hope the rest of your day is fabulous. And remember to join Jennifer at jenniferloudon.com. Links in the description below. If you would like to check out her weekly check-ins at the Oasis, a place to keep and honor your intentions in a playful and joyful atmosphere. Next week, I'm excited to share with all of you a gorgeous spiritual retreat along the El Camino de Santiago in Spain in October with Kara Andershock. If you have ever dreamed of doing this hike or walk, really, Kara is going to make this happen for you in a most exceptional way. You will be on your own, but you will be within a group. I absolutely cannot wait to share it with all of you. I will see you all next week on Travel Talk. Bon voyage!
This is the EWN Radio Network.